Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Good Old Podcast. I'm Jackie Franchulli for Wahoo's 24/7. And as you can see, if you're on YouTube, Zach Carey from Striking the Lawn has joined us on the show. Zach, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. Always fun.
So if you've listened to our podcast before, you know if we have Zach on the show, we're going to be talking about UVA basketball. And basketball season is just around the corner. We just had the blue and white scrimmage this past weekend. We also have Media Day in Charlotte next week, which I will be attending, both the women's and men's, Zach. And we got to see both the women's and men's scrimmage last weekend. And that was exciting to see some of those new faces on both of those teams. But although we were focused a lot on those new faces, it seemed like a face that I guess is relatively new because he redshirted last year. But he's a guy that we are familiar with, and that's Leon Bond. And Leon Bond, I feel like in that game, I know a lot has been made about several other of the transfers on Tony Bennett's team, but I felt like Leon Bond stole the show a little bit in some regard. I felt like he was one of the names that made a little bit of more of a push to be possibly start during the season this year. He showed some things on the offensive glass, but I liked him because defensively, you could tell how much growth he had during his redshirt year.
Yeah, he just looks comfortable on the floor. I mean, we obviously didn't see him in year one other than a blue-white scrimmage, which he actually played in well last year too. But I think this year you just saw a Leon Bond that knows his role and knows how to play within the system. It was interesting that when he played on the floor with Ryan Dunn and sort of a group of potential starters with Reese and IMAC as well, that he played the four on offense and Ryan Dunn played the three, meaning that Bond in their side's offense was setting a lot more screens and then sort of finding space in the mid-range, a little bit on the perimeter, making plays as a cutter, which I think is the role that you want him in on this team. And so, yeah, I mean, he looked just... he looks smooth. And I think that that's one thing is that you sort of expect a guy who is known to be athletic, who is known to sort of be a playmaker defensively, and you're trying to sort of organize that chaos, you know, that he can create into the pack line system. And then offensively can make plays off the dribble as a slasher, but you don't necessarily expect him to be someone that you're just like, oh, wow, he just looks so under control. Like, and that's probably the result of a redshirt season for him. It's really cool to see. I think that, yeah, you're right that I do think this sort of thrusts him into the conversation of will he be starting, because sort of that third backcourt spot alongside Beekman and McNeely is probably a little bit up in the air. Maybe Tony Bennett has someone he's already decided on. But with Dante Harris and Andrew Rohde, I think those are sort of the two names that had been floated. And I think Bond is now in there as well. And it also speaks to their confidence with playing Ryan Dunn on the perimeter, that they're comfortable putting Bond inside and kicking Dunn out as more of a playmaker. I think it's really good to see. I mean, it's a shame that they lost Isaac Trout in the transfer portal. I don't think that was really under Tony Bennett's control or the result of a red shirt. I think that was more personal to Trout from just my understanding. But it's cool to see guys who redshirt come into year two looking like the redshirt paid off.
Yeah, the Trout storyline is definitely still alive and well on message boards. And all that came with it. But I agree. I think I was actually impressed with Dante Harris on the defensive side. I thought he was a guy that was very physical in the scrimmage. And I thought there were some shades where like, okay, I can see possibly why he could be one that you're kind of looking at. And just from talking to people, Andrew Rhodey is someone who's been impressing during the workouts in the offseason leading up to this scrimmage. But during the scrimmage, I think Harris had 6 points. Rhodey had 4 points. I have that Harris was 2 of 9 of shooting and that Rhodey was 2 of 11 of shooting. So they struggled a little bit on that side of the ball. And I think one of the best lineups we saw was Reese Beekman, Isaac McNeely, Ryan Dunn, Leon Vaughn, and Blake Buchanan. I thought that was a good lineup that they had together defensively. I think that's if you were to pick a Tony Bennett defense team, I think those guys lining up, which is why I think Leon Vaughn certainly raised his stock a lot in that fight for that starting position. And that kind of moves on to the next section because we named two of the guys in that starting lineup that looked good. And that was Reese Beekman and Ryan Dunn. Ryan Dunn looked definitely more polished. He felt like a guy who was making plays himself. But also Reese Beekman, this is his team now. So it looked like when you're out there that it was his team. I thought that his mid-range game looked good as well. So when you look at those two, do you feel like this team kind of goes far depending on how these two play in the season?
Yeah, and there's obviously a lot more question marks on this roster, so you know you don't want to simplify it. But I do think in sort of a macro sense, there's a world in which Ryan Dunn and Reese Beekman are first round NBA draft picks at the end of the season. And if that happens, I think UV is going to be very good this season. Obviously, it'd be a shame to lose Dunn. But I mean, those two are the most talented on this roster at this point in time. Long term, you might have other guys who could sort of reach that level. But right now, it's those two guys. And sort of what we've seen in the past, and I'm not saying that this team is going to win a national championship or be competitive in that sense, but what you saw in 2019 and you saw sort of in some of UVA's other March runs is a number of players peaking at the right time in their career together. And I think that in Dunn and Beekman, you have two guys who seem to be going in that direction, right? In 2019, it was Jerome, Hunter, Guy, Diakite as well, I think you could argue. This season, I think you're looking at Dunn and Beekman in a big way. And there's obviously other players, IMAC being probably the most notable. But yeah, each of them have such high ceilings. Dunn as a lockdown defender in his own right, who's probably going to be pushing Beekman for ACC Defensive Player of the Year, but also as someone who seems to be growing offensively, as you mentioned, being more of a playmaker. I think he had 5 assists in 28 minutes of the scrimmage. So I think you're seeing him be more comfortable. And I mean, he was a guard in high school. Like, he was hitting pull-up threes in highlight videos that I was searching for on the deep web back when UVA was recruiting him back in, gosh, I guess 2021 or something. And so he has that skill set. It's just about sort of bringing it out and sort of putting the pieces together now that he is bigger, stronger, more athletic, getting sort of that fluidity back into his game. And you're seeing that. And yeah, you made the point on Beekman is well taken. I mean, that guy just looks like he's taken on the responsibility of this being his team. He's probably been ready for that for a little while now. And so it's exciting to see him get the keys 100% and be able to run this offense. And I think that this offense is going to be very dependent on how he plays within it. And it's going to rely on him very heavily. And through one fairly meaningless scrimmage after an already hard practice, it looked like he's up for the challenge.
And also 3-point shooting too. He was pretty tired towards the end. Not only had that, but he had that 3-point shooting contest.
Yeah, they did not shoot so hot in this scrimmage. I would probably attest that more to tired legs than I would an indictment of the future season to come.
Yeah. I had to put an asterisk on that when I was discussing the 3-point shot because I was like, well, I would be tired too after a practice and a 3-point shooting contest. So there was a little asterisk on that shooting during that scrimmage. But we're going to take a quick break here, Zach. But on the way back, we're going to talk about one of the issues, or I guess one of the concerns concerns or questions, however you want to phrase this, that we have of the Virginia men this season. But also, we're going to talk about the Virginia women because they also scrimmage. So we're just going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
And welcome back to the Good Old Podcast. As you can see, we have Zach Carey on the show. We're talking about the blue and white scrimmages for both the Virginia men and the Virginia women, getting us excited for the hoop season that's just coming up less than a month away. Now, Zach, we talked about some of the big takeaways, some of the standouts that we saw. Now, it's not really a standout, but I feel like it's the biggest question. It's the question about Virginia's front court. Now, you can argue if they go small ball lineup that possibly Dunn or Bond kind of fit those roles, but you have Jordan Miner, Jacob Groves, Blake Buchanan, and they were okay in the scrimmage from the first glances of who they are, but it wasn't like you were awed. But what you got, I felt like Miner was probably most productive in the front court in the scrimmage. He had 8 points. He was pretty good on the floor. He was able to get to the field goal line, but Blake Buchanan flashed as well as a defender, which I was a little surprised to as a freshman. I thought he looked a little further along than I expected. What was your thoughts on the front court?
Yeah, your point, you make a good one in the sense that I think we saw what we thought we were going to see from most of the front court, along with a couple additional things, which is fine. Like, for each individual guy, you're not looking at them and be like, oh, like, they're not going to be good because they're just who we thought they were. But yeah, in the aggregate, it's sort of, okay, who will step up? Yeah, Buchanan defensively looks polished. And again, maybe I'm overreacting to him playing like 20 minutes in a 28-minute scrimmage, but he just looked comfortable, especially guarding the pick and roll, the ball screen, which is sort of the biggest responsibility that Tony Bennett puts on his big men in requiring them to go out and hedge and then recover. And he didn't just look like he was surviving. He was thriving in a lot of ways. I thought his hedges, wherever they were on the floor, were disruptive, and his length was felt on when he was recovering back into the hoop. Look good as a help defender, like able to sort of figure out when and where to go help, when to stay on his man, when to even switch onto a smaller player and sort of try to shut them down. He had one reach in foul on a hard hedge on the wing. I think that that's just a little bit of a sign of inexperience, and hopefully that he can clean that up and not deal with foul trouble like a lot of UVA big men have in their first couple seasons. And obviously it's hard to put so much on this one young player from Idaho who's definitely has to adjust to college basketball. But I don't know. I mean, I think that there's a world where he is the exception to the rule of Tony Bennett big men needing a couple years to get comfortable in the system. And maybe that's an overreaction. Maybe that's just hopeful thinking for a light front court that needs his size. But yeah, I was really impressed, and I feel like he probably doesn't quite have the offensive production that you noted that Miner can produce just sort of easily, because Miner, he's experienced, and you saw that, and you saw sort of just how much of an impact his strength has. You know, he's not going to be scoring, I don't know, I can't exactly remember how many points he scored last year. He's not going to be scoring the number of points he had last year, not going to be getting the number of shots, but I think that he can be a high efficiency, low volume guy. who can make the right plays in the right moments for this team. It's just a matter of, does Buchanan give you a higher ceiling, especially defensively, just as a bigger player? Miner's totally respectable. They're just going to have to make plays around him rather than expecting him to make plays. I mean, he and Buchanan actually went back and forth. I'm sure you remember this at one point where Miner went at Buchanan in the post and scored a little sort of light floater, and then Buchanan came back down and hit sort of a turnaround jumper in the mid-range, maybe 10 feet on Miner, which was cool to see that there is a little bit of sort of that post presence from those two guys. Groves, I think, looked fine. I think that he'll look better when it's not off the back of a long practice, so that he can get his shooting legs under him a little bit more. And his impact will be more game to game, matchup to matchup, scheme to scheme than I think the other two guys, who will be more sort of based in their defense and how they can produce on that end. So, yeah, there's question marks. It's an unknown. How much Bond and Dunn play in the front court will probably be like that. That's sort of your saving grace to some extent. But I think, you know, it's a group that is probably high floor, low ceiling, with the caveat that Buchanan could kind of emerge into a guy if he can break that Tony Bennett first year big man mold.
Yeah, and I think all these questions about that front court, about all these new faces, I mean, this is a lot of new faces trying to gel on a team for Tony Bennett. I think this is one of the biggest roster turnovers for Bennett, I think, in a long, long time. I think, I guess, since he probably came onto as UVA's head coach. So I think that's why we see these unranked preseason polls when you look at Virginia. And I think the ACC is very strong this year. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the AP poll, sorry if you can hear the train coming by in the background, but in the AP poll, I think they received of the teams that weren't in the top 25, like the sixth most votes, not that they're actually 31st. But I think that's just about right probably for this team at this point in time. I understand national voters just being a little bit uncertain because they're not as tuned into, oh my God, Blake Buchanan breakout freshman season, or Andrew Rohde is going to come from St. Thomas and blow it up. And so I understand where they're coming from with that poll. I think, honestly, I would probably have them in a similar spot just because there are so many unknowns about this team. Like is there a world where they're, competing for a, you know, they're a top 10 seed at some point in the season? Absolutely. If all the pieces fit and everyone sort of plays into a bigger role, but at the same time, just about every single player on this team is going to be playing a more notable role or a higher division or level of basketball than they ever have before. So like there's not really one guy who comes back and you're like, okay, we know his role, we know what he's gonna do. Like you had so many guys like that last year, the entire starting lineup. You don't have that this year. So I think I get sort of the edge of the top 25. Okay, they could jump into it, they could jump out of it depending on early season and late season results. In the ACC, I think they're fortunate that they do have some time to sort of gel. I think the non-con, we're probably going to see them drop a couple games that maybe you wouldn't expect. They'll beat up on the teams that they're supposed to beat up on. But they're probably going to drop a couple games. And then I think that will allow them to peak as the ACC season starts. And they've got a pretty nice schedule too, especially to start. Like they only have to play Duke, Miami, and UNC once each. Early on, they get Virginia Tech at home. So I think there's a world where they rattle off a lot of wins to start ACC play and then are able to maybe get a share of that ACC regular season title again.
Yeah, some questions still left for that UVA men's hoop team. Like you said, it's understandable where they are in the preseason polls. But you know what other teams there's a lot of excitement about, Zach? It's the women's team. This is going to be
absolutely
Coach Mox's second season in Charlottesville. And for the, you know, last year towards the end of the season, they were struggling to have a complete team because of injuries and didn't have quite enough depth that she needed or wanted. She cured that by going to the transfer portal, by getting a couple new players, but also she went in the high school ranks and got some of the best players, not only in the country, but local players to join that roster. I mean, if you're able to get 3 out of the 4 surrounding counties in your team between 3 of your best players, that's how you can get more fans in the stands, especially they had an increase of 107% in ticket sales last year. And I imagine that's going to get even higher with three local athletes between Zam Brunel and newcomers Olivia McGee and Kimora Johnson. And I want to start with one of those newcomers. It's unfortunate that Olivia McGee, it looked like she fell awkwardly after she just checked into the scrimmage, and then she had to sit out and was feeling crutches and had ice on her knee. So she was she did not play in the scrimmage after that. So that was very unfortunate for her. She's from Louisa, and I know everyone in Louisa was pretty excited to see her. But Kimora Johnson, two times Gatorade Player of the Year, a local prospect, come from Charlottesville, Virginia, went to STAB. She told me that, you know, if it wasn't for, like, she was starting to get interested in UVA because of Coach Mox. So a highly sought off recruit. And you saw why she was a five-star recruit, why she was one of the best high school prospects in that game. I know there was a couple turnovers in that game for her, but she had a couple times where she went coast to coast. She was able to get to the bucket, find her teammates, dish the ball pretty well, had some good number of assists. I think she had about 10 points, 10 to 12 points in that game. So I thought that when you saw her, you could see why she's a McDonald's All-American and what type of future she brings to this program.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that in this game you saw, unlike the men's team, this women's team wants to run. And that's something that Coach Mox has emphasized since day zero with this program. And I think that you saw that Kimora Johnson is sort of the one to initiate that in a big way. I mean, she was getting the ball in the defensive backcourt and then pushing up floor. And that was probably the result that it led to a turnover here and there. But you'll take that with her talent and at her age. You know, you'll take the mistakes because you know that they're going to produce pretty awesome moments as well. The offense ran through her. I mean, on her team, of course, the offense ran through her. And that's cool to see. Like you're seeing it. It's not just the recruiting ranking. It's not just the hype. It's not just social media. She is playing a role that reflects her talent level. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's going to this season. Obviously, the teams were a little bit different in the women's scrimmage than the men's. And I mean, I think Kimora Johnson's team of, they had 2 second years, 2 first years, and I think London Clarkson.
It was a very young team.
Yeah. And they won by like 12.
And they won.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were a very young team. And she was dropping some dimes.
Yeah.
I mean, when you saw her, you're like, okay, I could see where the hype's from. Like you said, she was showing her talent there.
Yeah.
And one of the things we're going to talk a little later is that this team looks like the future is really good for this team if you look at just the talent on the court.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they're going to build to something, you know, like whether it's this year, whether it's next year, whether it's the year after that, probably all of those years to some extent, frankly. It's going to be a special group, and it culture is frankly overused in sports in this day and age. It's sort of like, oh, we have the best culture, but you can see the impact that Coach Mox's sort of implementation of culture and just, sorry to be Gen Z, but good vibes has had on this program. You can just see, like, people are excited to be there in the stands, on the court, on the bench. It's just so different than it was for so many years for this program. And that by itself is exciting. It was like this last year, but after they got some results, yes, the end of the season was unfortunate and just frankly unlucky in a lot of ways. But yeah, this program just seems to be building and building, and inevitably that's going to culminate on the floor. And I think that there's a very realistic scenario that happens this season.
Yeah, you saw that in the hype. Before the game, before the scrimmage, Coach Mox addressing the fans, having the coaches introduce themselves, having the players introduce themselves on what they're studying. And then the introduction of a new hype video, you saw all the girls looking up in the Jumbotron and dancing and all that stuff. They you could sense that they enjoy being there and for each other. You could see, I'm going to quote you, the vibes that are there. And I think before we talk about two veterans on this team that I think are going to be the key for this team to have success this year, I want to talk about the depth of some of the talent that might get lost among the All-American, All-McDonald's players. And that's Katie Pauley. Katie Pauley, I thought, was the player that stood out to me the most, because when you're going into the matchup, everyone was talking about Kimora Johnson, Olivia McGee, Even some of the injured players like Sam Brunell, Mir McClain. But I thought Pauly was a standout performer in that match. She had 2 threes. She had 10 points. I thought she had an overall really good day.
Yeah, and I mean, she's a flamethrower. She will let it fly, and it will go in a lot of the time. And playing alongside Kimora Johnson, that's really valuable, because when you have a point guard that can find people the way that she can, if you give a distributor, a player, a playmaker like that, someone who can just fire away and who you can create open looks for and be rewarded, that's a pretty dangerous combo. And yeah, I mean, Katie Pauly, you know, she sort of ended the bench for most of last year, got in here and there, I think had a couple big performances. But yeah, I think it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to keep a lot of people out of the rotation on this team. And I think that she's one of them where you just feel like you have to throw her in there. And whether that's, I mean, it's probably off the bench just because of the starters that they have. But yeah, I think she's very deserving of minutes. And I think we saw in this game that she's made growth from last year and can impact this team with outside shooting, which was a struggle at times last year. And so having that in the backcourt will be important. And I think that they can plug her in probably for a good number of minutes per game and get production from her.
Yeah, as we saw last year, this team's speed, you need that extra rotation, you need that depth, and that's what they lacked last year. So having this ability to go and say if Katie Pauly's coming off the bench or if she's got some starting roles here and there, I mean, that's what you need to be successful with this kind of lineup and what Coach Mox wants to do. But when you're talking about this team, I know we said there's so many young talent coming in. We saw it. We don't know if this could turn around this year or it could be something we could be turning around next year. But for this year, it seems like this team can go as far as how healthy Sam Brunell and Mir McClain are for this team. These two were highly missed last year when I think McClain lost, I think her injury was in the first half of the season. And obviously, Sam,
yeah, it was earlier.
I think February. It was very early. And you saw how much they missed her. And then when Sam went down, that was another big miss for them. They're both coming back from injuries. But I feel like the key for this team is how healthy those two can stay throughout the year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that the youth and the talent is very exciting for the future and will be able to produce this season. But as you said, Brunell and McClain are, alongside Cam Taylor, you know, the three leading scorers from last season. And you want sort of the athleticism that McClain brings, the scoring ability that she brings. Obviously, Sam Brunell, inside, outside, versatility, able to hit threes, able to score inside, get on the boards. And so having those three players in the front court or on the wing with Mir McClain, yeah, I think that that's sort of where you know, this team can be NCAA tournament good. Like, the talent is there for them to make a tournament push. But as you said, yeah, health is the big question. And you know, you want it for them. You want it for the individuals. You want it for the team. You want it for Coach Mox, just to be able to get a full shot with the talent that they have on this team. And so, yeah, I mean, time will tell. Unfortunately, we're not going to have answers right now. But, I mean, that also probably goes to say that it will be valuable to have a deep rotation, because you can give them fewer minutes per game. And maybe, you know, some of these players that have been injury prone in the past, you can, especially early in the season, let them take it easy so that by February and March, you know, they haven't sustained such a high volume of minutes that maybe they can be fresher and can avoid those you know, unfortunate injuries that doomed the team late in the year last season.
Yeah, but one thing's for sure, there's a lot of excitement in Charlotte about this Virginia women's program. So both teams will be in Charlotte next week for their ACC media tip-off. The women will be meeting the media on Tuesday. The men will be meeting the media on Wednesday. And we'll have full coverage of those both media days coming up on Wahoo's 24/7, since I will be in Charlotte. Well, Zach, thanks so much for joining us today to talk a little bit about hoops.
Yeah, of course. A lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
And of course, you can follow Zach on Streaking the Lawn. He has you covered with football, basketball, and a lot of Virginia sports. So you can read up on him on streakingthelawn.com. And for me, Hope you guys have a good rest of the week. And obviously, we'll be back here to cover the Virginia-North Carolina game next week. We'll have a podcast on Tuesday breaking down the game and looking forward to their next contest. Another road game in the ACC against Miami. We'll also have updates on recruiting since the Virginia staff is looking to fill in some holes in the 2024 class. So for Zach, I'm Jack Franchulli, and hope you guys have a good rest to your week.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.